2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's begin to read in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We love you and we thank you now. I pray that you'd help us preach for just a little while. We cannot do anything without you. And those are just not idle words that I say. I know that tonight and I realize that. And Lord, we need power from on high to be able to preach what you'd have us to. And Lord, I appreciate this song, this signing that these ladies done tonight. Lord, I do thank you for what you've done for us. And we just want to come and pour our praise out upon you tonight, out of our alabaster box. And Lord, I thank you for the good congregation of singing tonight. And boy, for the old rugged cross. Lord, had it not been for the old rugged cross, we can't get saved. And Lord, I pray that if there's one here lost tonight, you'd save them and bring them to that place of repentance. It is a joy to be in your house tonight, to have the health to be here and be able to stand and preach one more time. I pray that you'd, Lord, just hide us behind the cross that we might preach for just a little while. And Lord, it might bring glory and honor to your name. Help us now. We can't do anything without you. Save that sinner's nearest tale for this in Jesus' name. We do ask and pray. Amen and amen. As we look at these verses that I read there just a few minutes ago, as the Apostle Paul opens up his second epistle, and that to the church at Corinth, the church that no doubt had all kinds of problems. If you read, they had all kinds of fleshly problems, carnal issues, and they were in the flesh a lot, it seemed. That I tell you, it resembles me sometimes, I'll be honest with you. But he comes down here and he begins to talk about, in verse 3, he begins to talk about how that God is the Father of mercies. And boy, ain't you glad that the Lord has mercy tonight. I'm so glad that the Lord has mercy. He has mercies for sinners that needs to come and get saved. The Bible tells us over in the book of Titus, not according to the works of righteousness we've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. And, well, that means He held His wrath back and give us that grace that we didn't deserve, and He saved us. But then the Bible talks about right here that He is the God of all comfort, who comforted us, comforteth us in all of our tribulation. I want to preach tonight for just a little while on comfort. That word comfort simply means to relieve from pain or to give rest or moderate pleasure after pain. I think most of us know what it means to have comfort and to be comfortable. It means to relieve. It's relief from distress of the mind. It is to strengthen and to enliven tonight. So as the Apostle Paul, as he talks about God being the God of all comfort, who comforted us all in all our tribulation. Now He is the God of all comfort in all our tribulation. Do you catch that tonight? He has all comfort for all tribulation. So whatever you're going through, He can help you tonight. Does not matter. He can give you comfort. He can relieve you in your distress of mind, in your worry. And He can relieve you in your body and in your spirit. He can comfort you. Can I ask you tonight, has there ever been a time in your life when you just needed comfort? I mean, you just needed comfort. Maybe like one of these youngins that fall down and hurt themselves and begin to cry, and their mother runs to them and picks them up. And what do you and others do? You comfort them. That's what you want, to take the pain and that away from them. And ain't you glad tonight that the Bible talks about over here, the Apostle Paul did, and as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. That word consolation means comfort, by the way. Consolation and comfort run together. And he says, look, my sufferings of Christ abound in me. I'm suffering for Him, but it's by Him that I find comfort. Let me say tonight, if you're going to serve Christ, we're going to have sufferings. I told you this morning, I don't want to be a woe is me preacher a lot of times. It seems like I go down that road a lot, but I'm just going to tell you tonight that in Job 14:1, the Bible said that man that is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. We're going to have trouble in our life. We're going to have problems in our life, and we are going to need comfort. Now, the Bible talks about over in Genesis chapter 37, after Jacob lost Joseph. You remember the story that Joseph's brothers sold him off down into slavery and took that coat of many colors that he had, and they took a sheep over there, I believe it was, and they put blood upon it, and they took it back to their dad, and they said, this was Joseph's coat, we believe. And he took it to his dad, and he said, it is his. And I listened to the Bible said in Genesis 37, and all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But then the Bible said, but he refused to be comforted. I'm going to tell you, God will not force His comfort on us. A lot of people want to, for whatever reason, they want to be sad, or at least they don't understand how to accept God's comfort. And here's what Jacob said, and he said, for I will go down into the grave into my son mourning, and thus his father wept for him. And we all know the story. I've never preached on the witness of the wagons out of the book of Exodus over there. But I'm telling you, if you ever go read that story where Joseph sent them wagons back over there to pick up Israel and to pick up his children and, you know, all his brethren and all that and bring them down to Egypt. The Bible talks about how that Jacob, Israel's spirit was revived inside of him. Why? Because of the witness of the wagons. They come to him. You know what they told him? They said, I'll get started here in a minute. You stay with me, okay? Said, Dad, said, listen, Joseph is alive down in the land of Egypt. And he didn't believe them. And his heart was still sunk and had in grief and did not have any comfort. But the Bible said when the wagons come that Pharaoh had sent by Joseph's hand, then his spirit revived inside. You know what he found? He found comfort that day. It may take a little while, but friend, I'm going to tell you, we'll find comfort. Now, can I say that number one tonight as I get started, it is the Lord that comforts us. There's going to come time that me and you are going to need comfort. Whether it is a time of grief in our life, when we have lost somebody that is dear to us, or whether it's just a problem has arose, or suffering of some kind, maybe it is sickness. And I understand that Paul is talking about suffering for Christ right here. I understand that. I know that. How many of us suffer for Christ tonight? To be honest with you, there ain't many of us suffer for Christ. We're not persecuted for the cause of Christ. Not yet. Maybe get awful close for it before it's over with. But listen, we're not being persecuted for the cause of Christ. Not here in East Tennessee. But listen tonight, there is suffering that we go through. And listen, it is by God Himself that comfort comes to the saint of God. The Bible said right here that He is the Father of mercy, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation. How does He comfort us? I begin to dwell on this and think about how does God come to us and comfort us? He's not physical like me and you are. I mean, He does not possess a body like me and you do. And He can't come and hug upon us like a mother does a child when one falls. I begin to think about what the Bible talks about in John 14:6, how God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, comes to us and begins to minister to our heart. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit tonight. If you're lost and the Holy Spirit is knocking on your door, don't be afraid of Him. Don't fear Him. Come and get saved tonight. Listen, it was the Holy Spirit that convicted me that night that I got saved and showed me that I was lost. But then the Bible tells us over in the book of John chapter 14 that same one who was the convictor is the comforter. The Bible said that the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He said in John 14:16, just 10 verses earlier, He said, I will pray the Father and He shall give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever. Listen, it's the Holy Spirit that comes and listen, He shows up in our deepest times of grief and our deepest sorrow, and He's the one that begins to hug on us and love on us. I remember years ago, and I think I've told you all this story. I tell so many stories sometimes I don't remember what I've told, what I ain't. I mean, you preach three times a week, you got a lot of stories to tell sometimes. But I remember when I was just a boy riding a little old motorcycle, and our next door neighbors had a beagle dog, and that thing loved wheels and tires. And it loved the wheels and tires on that little old motorcycle that I had. And you know that thing tried to run its head underneath the wheel of my motorcycle. And instead of running it underneath of it, it got in the side of it and pushed me over on that motorcycle. And you know when I wrecked that thing and plowed up the driveway with it, and I knew my dad was out in his building working, the first thing I did was begin to cry out for him. I just a big fella. And you know what? I wasn't hurt near as bad as I thought it was. You know, you fall over and you're on a motorcycle and you get a little bit of road rash and all that and it hurts for a little while. But you know, after you get calmed down, you're not as hurt near as much as you thought you were. So a lot of times we get in a spot, and I'm not saying whether you're hurting bad or not hurting bad, but I'm telling you where we just begin to cry out for the Heavenly Father. And say, Lord, I just need some help. I need some comfort. My life is upside down right here. I don't know what to do. I don't need comfort, but I need direction. But if you could just come by and help. And what does He do? He sends the Holy Spirit, don't He? And there's a calm. There's a peace. And we sung about that tonight. You know, victory today is mine. There is a deep, settled peace. Abiding in myself. He sends that peace. That passes all understanding. Sometimes I don't understand that. But He is the God of all comfort. He sends the Holy Spirit and that to help us. There's a lot of Baptists afraid of the Holy Spirit tonight. I went on and quoted in John 14. He said, I will pray the Father that He shall give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him, for He dwelleth in you and shall be in you. And then Jesus said this, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And so He comes to us in the form of the Holy Spirit to be able to comfort us and to help us and to renew us and to just hug up on us. I thought about, as I looked at this, and I don't know if your children, as the little ones here tonight, I don't know if they're afraid of thunderstorms or not. But you know, you've seen young ones that are afraid of thunder and afraid of the lightning. I think even Jacob back there is a little afraid of the lightning. He told me the other day, just a little bit, he says. He said the room that he was growing up in didn't have a window in it. And so he said he hadn't seen lightning in a long time in the middle of the night. He gets out on his own, gets in a place of his own, it's got windows in it, and the lightning's cracking and the thunder's place. He said, that bothered me a little bit. But you know what? It's amazing how much comfort that them youngins get when they crawl up mom and dad's lap in the middle of a thunderstorm when it's raging around them. But as long as they're sitting in your lap and you're holding on to them, they're just as good can be. And they're just as quiet can be because they like to lay up here and just rest on you. And boy, they just hear your heartbeat. And boy, I'm telling you, when we need comfort, if we'll just crawl up in the lap of the Lord and just let Him hug on us and love on us, He'll take care of us. He wants to comfort you tonight. I don't know what you're going through, but I do know this, that the Heavenly Father sends the Holy Spirit by the Lord Jesus Christ to love on us and to comfort us. He gave us His Spirit to help us, but He left us His Scripture that we could find comfort in it. Romans chapter 15, the Bible said, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation, see there He is, He's the God of patience and consolation, grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. What did He say? He said through the what? Through the patience of the Scripture and comfort of the Scripture, we might have hope. You know why I have comfort tonight? Because this book that sits in front of me tonight. I read it and I know that it's true. You know, that gives me comfort to read this thing tonight. Let me give you an example. If you take your Bible, go over there with me tonight and go over the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I quoted this the other day to somebody when I was on the telephone with them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I look in Look in verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 18. It's a very short verse. But he said this, the Apostle Paul did, said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. What words was he talking about? You know what he had told them starting in verse 13 through verse 17? He was talking about the rapture of the church. The gathering of the church. I mean, he says, but I'm not happy to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you saw not even as others which have no hope. Why? Because we have hope. There's no reason for us to sorrow as God's people. We have hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, there's the gospel. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain of the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then in verse 18, now see, it changes your whole thought process. Now he says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let me ask you something. Why would Paul tell the church at Thessalonica that they could be comforted with these words? Now, ain't that comforting for you tonight? It is for me. I'm slowly but surely getting more over on the other side than I've got over here. Now, it's a little at a time. They're all getting over there. And I know some of them's got more over there than I do. I'm telling you, I've got some preacher friends over there that I can't wait to see, and a sainted grandmother that's over there. But some of y'all have got mom and dad. And some of you have got some children over there that you're waiting to see one day. Hey, listen, you know why there's a comfort? Because there's coming a day. Listen, that scripture is comforting to me right now. Listen, it says that we which rely and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And here it is. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Forever we'll be with Him. That's comforting to me. I'll never deal with this place again. Whew. Makes you want to shout a little while, don't it? I'm tired of this place. I'm telling you, I'm so tired of this place. I'm tired of my flesh. I'm tired of this world. I'm tired of it all tonight. Thank God there's a new heaven and a new earth coming one day after a while. And it'll all be said and done. But if you take your Bible and you flip over into the next chapter, or into 2 Thessalonians, and look in chapter 1, another reason this was comforting to them, and I believe I brought this out maybe last Wednesday or sometime, let me see if I can get here. Go back to verse 3. We're bound to thank God, 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Well, that's a good thing, ain't it? That our charity aboundeth. You know, that's love in action. Love that's got action with it. And he says, your charity toward each other aboundeth. And he says, it groweth exceedingly, your faith does, and your charity aboundeth. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. So we've got a church here that is going through persecution and tribulation, and they're enduring it. They're not quitting. They're lifting up under it and bearing the load. How many of you are bearing the load or feel like you're bearing the load tonight? Verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. They were suffering, wasn't they? They were suffering for the cause of Christ. They were persecuted for the cause of Christ. Seeing it is a righteous thing, that thing with God, to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Now God's going to have the last say. You know, as He wrote to the church here, I believe they were probably pretty excited to hear about the rapture of the church. Look at verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. You can't rest without comfort. You just can't do it. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. He said, look here, God's going to have the last say one day after a while. So he was comforting them by the Scriptures. I believe tonight that me and you can read this book and find comfort in the Scriptures. I mean, in the promises that God has left us. To know that He will not forsake us. To know that He will not leave us. To know that He will not... How did He put it over here at one point? Who won't suffer us to be tempted above what we're able? He's faithful. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He's faithful that will not allow us to suffer to be tempted above that. Listen, He's going to help us. He takes care of us. He sends us the Scriptures. For you to meditate on them, for you to study on them, for you to look at them and read them, me too, and then just believe them. You know, when me and you just believe the Scriptures, we find great comfort. It's when we don't trust them that we struggle. It's when we don't trust them. It's by the saints of God that we find comfort tonight. I'm going to get in a little more on this here in just the next... In the next point, but 2 Corinthians chapter 7, he said, for when we were come to Macedonia, the Apostle Paul did, he said, our flesh had no rest, could find no comfort. But we were troubled on every side, without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. He said, God sent me somebody. How many times has God just ever sent you somebody? Lord, I need some help. I just need some help. And if you'll send me some help, I'll know what to do. You ever been there? You ever been there in the place where you're just struggling and you needed comfort? And boy, God just sent you somebody. I mean, not only was the Holy Spirit present, not only was the Scripture there, but God sent you a dear old saint that just might have just helped you for the day, but just sent you a dear old saint. He said, the Lord comforteth those that are cast down. And he said, he comforted us by the coming of Titus. He said, he sent Titus to help me. He sent Titus and that to come by and strengthen us and comfort us. Well, you know, the Bible says, as iron sharpeneth iron, so does the countenance. So does the countenance of a... How is it so? Now, okay, iron sharpeneth iron, so does the countenance of a man's friend or something like that. I'll have to go back there. You know, when your friend comes, you know, there's some people that I don't want to see coming. But you know, there's been times that I was tickled to death to see somebody coming. I thought, man, boy, I'm so glad to see you. You ever been there? That was the Lord helping you, you see, sending you some comfort. And so that brings me to point number two. Sometimes we're not the one that needs the comfort, but sometimes we can be the one that does comfort. We come back to the Scripture right here, and what does the Apostle Paul say in the text Scripture? Who comforted us all in our tribulation, and comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, I would far rather be in the position of being a comfort than have to need comfort. Amen? I mean, I'll be honest with you. I would rather and try to be a comfort to somebody than have to need him. Job chapter 2. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that were come upon him, they came every one from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to what? Comfort him. Now, if that was the end of that, we would think that those three men were a comfort to Job. But 14 chapters later, Job said, I have heard many such things, and miserable comforters are y'all. He said, boys, y'all ain't no good at this. He said, you all ain't helping me a lick. You've come down here and told me every reason why I ain't right with God with no proof at all. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes we try to figure out why somebody's in the position that they're in, why they need comfort. I'm going to be honest with you tonight. If it's not sin, while they're there, and even if it is, and if they're willing to get right with God, hey, listen tonight, then we ought to let them get right with God and go on and be a comfort to somebody. Sometimes just you being there will help you. Will help them, excuse me. It'll help you too, by the way. It'll help them. Listen tonight. By the same comfort that God has helped you and showed up and was faithful to come by, then we were to do the same for the saints of God. We read about Barnabas just a little bit this morning in Acts chapter 4. He was called the son of consolation. Again, that word consolation means comfort or alleviation of misery. That's what the word consolation means. And by the way, the disciples gave him that name. Now reckon why they gave Barnabas that name, the son of consolation. Barnabas, why? Reckon he was comforting to be around. Think about that for just a second. Let's go over here to Acts chapter 4. Am I not telling that right? Let me make sure I'm telling that right. Some of you are looking at me a little crazy. And then you get me second guessing myself. I'm pretty sure I read that right this morning. I thought I did. Verse 36 of Acts chapter 4. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. He was called the son of consolation, Barnabas. Now think about that for just a second. If the church renamed you, if they renamed you, what would they rename you? We'd rename Brother Marvin back there tonight Tickle Pink, I guess. He's wearing that pink shirt. I don't know. Well, what would you... I was about to say, what would you rename me? But I'm afraid you'll say, so don't say it. But tonight, they named Joseph Barnabas, meaning the son of consolation. You know, the Bible talks about Noah in Genesis chapter 5. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This thing shall comfort us concerning our work and toil in our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." He said, Noah's going to be a comfort to us. Lamech was his dad. He said, he's going to be a comfort to us. Listen, if God has comforted you, then you should know how to comfort people. I'm not always the best at it. I'm not always the greatest at it. I was telling a preacher friend of mine the other day, I said, look, I've met some preachers that man, they can be standing in that receiving line at the funeral home, and they have the right words to say every time. And I stand up there and stutter around and look at the floor and everything else just to try to give somebody a little comfort when I go through. But a lot of times, it's not what you have to say more than it is just you being there. The Bible said in Romans chapter 12, he said, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." I told you one time, I had to do that all in one day as pastor in this church. Years ago, I don't remember the exact circumstances, but in my mind, I can't remember who had the baby, and I can't remember who passed away in the same day, but at the same time, I went to the hospital where mom and dad just had a child, and I rejoiced with them, and when I left there, I went to a house where death had just crept in. And I left from one place of rejoicing and went to another place, in that of sorrow and weeping and crying. And we have to find ourselves in both places at the same time sometimes. But then he went on to say this, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, and be not wise in your own conceit. You know, sometimes to comfort somebody, we're just going to have to get down there with them. You ain't going. I'm not talking about wallowing in sin. I ain't talking about that. No, no. But I'm just going to tell you, sometimes you're going to have to spend some time with them. You're going to have to be a friend to them, because you're going to be all that they got to help them through that time. You're going to be all they got. And listen, comfort to somebody. Sometimes they just need a phone call. Sometimes I told a gentleman the other day, I told you that story a couple of times about him calling me, come out to his business and met with him and in private. And, you know, he struggles with worry and anxiety and all those things. And you know what I determined to do after he talked to me about those things? I determined that I'd at least call him twice a week and check on him. And I've done that ever since then. I've called him at least twice a week and just check on him, see how things are going. And I told him that the other day. We were talking, and I said, and I forget what brought it up. We were kind of talking about he was making light of his anxiety issues and stuff. I said, do you know why I call you 2 or 3 times a week? I said, it's because after that conversation, I said, I figured the conversation probably helped both of us if you want to know the truth. And he laughed on the other end, and he said, it does. See, just simply by picking up the telephone and spending 5 and 10 minutes, 30 minutes sometimes with people will be a comfort to them, simply because they know you care. A card in the mail goes a long way. You know, I sent Miss Joanna a card. I don't know, it's been back before all this COVID stuff set in and all that. I was just thinking about her one day, and I just wrote her a little card and mailed it to her, just sent it to her. And she still talks about that thing. When I call and talk to her and check on her, she says, I still got your card hanging in here on the refrigerator. See what I'm saying? It's those little things. Just those little things. Just to be a comfort to somebody. To know that they've not been forgotten or left out. Just to be a comfort. Don't you feel good? I remember probably one of the first cards in pastoring this church that I ever got. Just out of the blue. Wasn't our birthdays. It wasn't an anniversary or a holiday. But Sister Janice just mailed me a card to send me a card. Who does those things? Well, God's people does. This to be a comfort and a light in your day. Listen, as we have been comforted by God, then we ought to comfort one another. How much do we need comfort sometimes? I talked to us husbands tonight. Wives, you ought to be a comfort one to another. Not a hindrance, but we ought to be a comfort one to another. Help each other. But number three, and last of all, when you're lost, it's salvation that brings comfort in your heart. Matthew chapter 11, he said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You've got to come to Christ to be saved tonight. I want you to look in your Bible. One last scripture, Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, you find the woman that had the issue of blood. Now, if there was ever a woman that never had no comfort, and this is great, this is a great type of a lost person, but in Luke chapter 8, look in verse 43, a great type of a lost person, the Bible said in verse 43, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, and neither could be healed of any. Now, she's had a sickness for 12 years that she couldn't fix. She spent all that she could. And as a matter of fact, I believe that the Bible tells us over here in the book of Matthew, but she rather grew worse. Might have been Mark, but she rather grew worse. And so she was not only not getting better, but she'd spent all that she had, and she was growing worse every day. She couldn't do anything for herself. And no doubt this lady could not rest. But I want you to look. The Bible said right here, neither could be healed of any. Came behind him and touched the border of his garment. Immediately, her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." Let me stop right here. Out of all them people that were touching him, there was one sick lady that come up there and touched just the border of his garment, the hem of his garment. Didn't even touch him, but touched the border of his garment. And he said, "Who touched me?" And Peter said, "What do you mean, Lord, who touched you? All these people are thronging you and are upon you and wanting to touch you." And he said, "But virtue has went out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. So she told it all, didn't she? And he said unto her, "Daughter," what did he say right here? "Daughter, be of what? Good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Boy, when a sinner comes and gets saved, he says, "Be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Boy, when you get saved, you don't have to worry about dying. You don't have to worry about eternity. You don't have to worry about what's going on this world. You know, that David said in Psalms 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they what? They comfort me." Only Jesus can bring you peace and comfort tonight in your heart. If you're lost tonight, you need to come and get saved, and you'll find peace and comfort in your heart tonight. You may be saved and need comfort tonight. You may be going through something tonight that the preacher don't know anything about, that people sitting in his church house don't know anything about. You may be struggling tonight, but I'm telling you, God can help you. And listen, you say, "Preacher, there's just so much." Listen, God can help you tonight, I'm telling you. But tonight, as His saints, as His dear saints, we ought to be a comfort one to another. Let's bow our heads across the house tonight, church. So we get us a little music tonight, if we would. If you need to come and pray, maybe you've never been saved. Maybe you find yourself here tonight wondering about salvation, worrying about salvation, worrying about eternity, and no comfort in your heart and in your life tonight. Christ Jesus can bring you help tonight, bring you comfort if you'll come to Him. But dear saint of God, if you're struggling tonight, won't you let the Lord just love on you and hug on you? So I've been trying to let Him do that. I wish He would. But He would just keep searching. Just keep. Just listen. Just remain faithful. God will help you tonight. If you need to come tonight and need to pray, I encourage you to come.